In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, the source of all life and joy, peace and comfort, who by the glad sound of the gospel has called us to have part in thy kingdom of glory, shine into our hearts, we beseech thee, by thy word and Holy Spirit, and empower us by thy grace that we may always take our reason captive in obedience to and in humble submission under thy perfect wisdom, and follow thee in true faith through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Our epistle lesson this morning is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 19 through 26, and reads as follows. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Here endeth the epistle lesson. We shall now sing hymn 412. gospel lesson is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 2, beginning at verse 23 and reading through to verse 28 as follows. And it came to pass that as he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, as this is found on page 22 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our meditation this morning is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and reads from verse 1 to verse 8 as follows. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. For so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior and Head of His Church, dearly beloved hearers of His precious word. As the first words of our Proverbs text for this morning indicate, the writer is a father, a loving father, addressing a dear son. Our text in much of the book of Proverbs is thoughtful and deliberate writing, earnest and urgent from father to son. It's legacy-type material, full of advice and counsel for his son about how to be a man, how to grow up to become a God-fearing, effective, and respectable man in the world, kingly even, and about what success in that endeavor looks like, feels like, and means for him and his family in the future. Along with that, the father includes all sorts of warnings about the sore difficulties and frustrations, the dangers and the subtle traps inside and outside that will be laid for him along the way. I'm sure that many of us here can imagine what it might be like to be a son or a daughter eventually reading such a thing, and perhaps even hearing the voice of a beloved parent sounding through the writing on the page, or to be a father or mother committing such things to writing. It's probably easy to imagine because that's the kind of thing that loving families do for one another. All right, so what's the big deal? What's the point of that when the theme of our convention is rationalism, the enemy of Christian faith? Well, here in Proverbs, Solomon, King Solomon, is the father. He was brought up by his father, David, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And this is the same Solomon when he was still very young, God gave an open invitation to ask anything in the world of him. And Solomon asked the Lord for a wise and understanding heart in order to judge God's people faithfully. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days, exceeding abundantly over all that Solomon asked or thought. So this loving father's counsel, Solomon's counsel, to his dear son is uniquely wise. But there's more. By a father, and especially a father like Solomon, addressing such written counsel that his son could read, grow up with, consult, and study, in time he will come to experience that the counsel is good, and that it does him good every time he approaches to it. Then at some point in the future, when his father becomes the one in need, the son may bring that good, earnest, wholesome, familiar and even urgent counsel right back to him. Most importantly, this is not merely family correspondence. Solomon wrote these Proverbs by verbal inspiration of the Holy Ghost, recording the very words through which God the Father gives needed, thoughtful, deliberate, wise, and urgent instruction to his children, wherever and whenever they are, including us today. Durable instruction for men, young and already grown men, regarding how to continue growing to become thoroughly furnished Christians by God's grace and with his help. Warned of and watchful for the perils of the world. Instruction which women, young and old, can also read, learn, inwardly digest, and apply for their own growth in grace and wisdom and spiritual strength and endurance. Furthermore, it is counsel by which both men and women of all ages get unique windows and special insight into what each other is up against as believers in this world. The jobs and responsibilities, expectations, vulnerabilities, etc. To the end that they can become more effective husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, and more generally, brethren, neighbors, and friends. So here in Proverbs, this poetical book of wisdom is a remarkable and wise arrangement of layers upon layers of counsel and application designed to build up and preserve people on and around the foundation of true wisdom, namely God's holy word. Now that's just the nature and structure, and not even the content of the book. And that's just one out of a whole collection of books, all divinely inspired and written for diverse times and occasions, just as intricately, just as beautifully, just as wisely, just as durably, and so providently and graciously preserved also for our learning. What else would we expect from an omniscient God who created us and all things in the first place and has a special, loving, and vested interest in sustaining us? Over against this, rationalism, or the exaltation of one's own way of thinking above the clear teachings of the Bible, against this, rationalism just seems ridiculous. Over against this, rationalism just seems so shallow, so empty, so unbalanced, and so wimpy. Well, it is. But it's so, so tricky, and it is so seductive to the flesh. And it has been used so, so successfully as a tool of the devil throughout history to deceive and seduce souls into misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. So rationalism is truly the enemy of the Christian faith. Therefore, let us focus our meditation this morning upon the divinely provided shield and spirit-helped antidote to rationalism, namely the exhortation of our text for today, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Verse 5 of our text contains the sermon's theme. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So this is very likely a piece of memory work that many of us have hidden in our hearts, maybe since we were very, very little. Great. Keep it there. Use it. This passage is one of many that fit very nicely with Martin Luther's meaning to the first commandment. The first commandment being, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. How suitable that the first commandment and the first principle of wisdom are such a great pair. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we read, both in Psalms and in Proverbs. Yet rationalism is appealing to the sinful flesh and to the carnal mind because they go together so deviously. The carnal mind is enmity against God, Paul writes, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And Pastor Blatel pointed this out very nicely in part one of his essay. The rationalistic carnal mind does not fear or respect God. It doesn't love God. It's opposed to him. It certainly does not trust God. Rather, it fears, loves, and trusts itself above all things. It leans firmly against its own darkened understanding. And therefore, no matter how loudly or how forcefully the rationalistic carnal mind professes itself to be wise, it is in fact foolish. So then, how do we Christians, who according to our new man desire to keep God's commandments and desire to begin our path to wisdom at the proper place, how do we maintain our wholehearted trust in the Lord and the understanding that he gives? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Brethren, by nature, we were 100% carnal, 100% carnally minded. We were nameless, without hope and without God in the world, children of wrath even as others. The Holy Ghost brought us to faith in our Savior through his precious gospel. We have God-given forgiveness, life, and salvation in him and for his sake. Our Heavenly Father made us part of his spiritual family so that we now have a lively, that is, a living hope, and a family and a name that transcends anything in this present world. We are even now staged as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father to share in his inheritance. An inheritance that we have nothing in this world to compare to in how great it is. And while we wait for that, our Lord nourishes our souls with his present and enduring word, and our bodies with a rich and diverse basket of daily bread. All that we are, all that we have, and all that we endeavor to do are the result of God's merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundantly good and true work for us and in us. So that's a good place to start. Take stock of that regularly. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Put in place deliberate opportunities to remember the law, the words, the counsel of our Heavenly Father, and where it is to be found, namely the Holy Scriptures. Keep them in view. Wear God's mercy and truth around your neck like a big old beautiful necklace or chain. Accessorize with it. Display it. Others will see it, and the drip is in the details. But most importantly, you will see it. You will see it on yourself every time you look in the mirror, so to speak. You'll remember that by God's grace, it was important enough for you to put on in the first place. And you'll be grateful that you're still wearing it. Hide it inside, also, in your heart. Spend time with God's word. Learn it. Study it. Walk around in it. Explore it, so to speak. Try it on. Desire, according to the new man, to keep it, and ask God for help and strength regularly to do so to his glory. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. When you have opportunity to gain secular knowledge in school, yes, even in college, especially, dare I say, scientific knowledge, ecology, biology, chemistry, astronomy, all of these subjects where there's so much rationalism creeping in and essentially taking over, if you find yourself there, keep in mind that you have the privilege of exploring God's creation. David prayed, "Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." Well, in a similar way, you can ask the Lord's help to see in his physical handiwork the wonders of his design and the providence of his preservation, and then to endeavor to be a good steward of his creation. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or study or go to work or bring up children or care for loved ones, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And that consistent attitude by God's grace alone will help to keep us from being wise in our own eyes. So may we, in all our ways, acknowledge him. Here now, as we see so often in the scriptures, the Lord gives a promise along with a command. And as is also the case so often in the scriptures, the promise is the motivator to keep, or at least to endeavor to keep, the command that it accompanies. In all thy ways acknowledge him, we just considered, which assists us to tamp down the carnal mind and to eschew rationalism. But the promise not only helps us avoid something that we don't want, according to our new man, but it gives us something that our new man desperately needs, desires, namely guidance. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. The rationalistic carnal mind is not a good guide. It's bad at its job. It's chaotic. It's short-sighted. It's selfish. It doesn't seek to solve problems in any virtuous way. Not really, even though it desperately signals to the contrary. Rationalism plays a zero-sum game, and that means that there are winners and losers, and if one wins, another has to lose. Rationalism plays dirty, ruthlessly. And as mentioned before, it very often wins, even against many believers, and they fall from faith. That means that in the end, rationalists lose, and the world is left a worse place because of it. That's not what we want. Not while we, by God's grace, still have a new man that understands the kind of guide that the Lord is. The Lord guides us with his holy word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God has searched us and known us. He understands our thoughts afar off. He compasses our path, and he is acquainted with all our ways. In other words, he knows where we came from. He knows where we start each day. He knows the destination, the route, and the deadline. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters, restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and sometimes, guys, our paths are going to be through some pretty harrowing areas, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This path direction, which we follow by his grace, according to the new man, shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It's like good comfort food, good hot homemade soup on a cold rainy day, or reliable scheduled maintenance to rejuvenate the body and the bones so that they don't get dry and brittle. Further fruit of his help, guidance, and leading is length of days, long life, and peace. Our text says in verse 1. Similar to the promise added to the fourth commandment, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Long life from a less contentious and less cavalier attitude during our time of grace. Length of days and peace, precious concepts indeed, in an increasingly calamitous and never-resting world. God's direction for his dear children on earth also involves favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now think of some examples in the scriptures of humble, God-fearing men and women through whom the Lord worked to accomplish great things, magnifying himself in the eyes of kings. Joseph in Egypt, later Moses in Egypt again, Daniel before Nebuchadnezzar, and later on Darius, Esther with Ahasuerus. And then on much smaller scales, someone like that little servant girl who mentioned the prophet Elisha to Naaman's wife when she was concerned about his leprosy. Now, the rationalistic carnal mind attempts to shame, insult, marginalize, and ostracize Orthodox Christians as undesirables, as fools, or as bigots, while at the same time bringing forth the destructive fruits of the flesh. Meanwhile, in reality, there is not one society in the world that Christians would not make better, even if only civically, simply by living according to the new man. According to God's word, we ought to let our light shine so that others see it and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Not so that we get the glory. We ought to display our hope in Christ, giving reasons for that hope when asked. We share our Heavenly Father's desire that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. We desire to be good neighbors, good and faithful friends, trustworthy and conscientious employers and employees, attentive fathers, mothers, spouses, children. There's no law against the fruits of the Spirit, as we heard in the gospel lesson. The fruits of the Spirit are positive. They build up. And the Lord leads us in the path of opportunities to perform such building and such planting and such watering. May we glorify him by performing faithfully when called upon what he works in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Now, dear brethren, as the 71st Convention starts to wind to a close, let us thank our Heavenly Father that he has preserved unto us another year of fellowship that we now get to enjoy and exercise. Let's pray that he continue to grant it into the future for the benefit also of our posterity. Let us rejoice that he's given and preserved unto us his perfect, all-sufficient, wise, and only norming oracles. Let's run to them, inquire at them, and rest securely on them alone. Let's counsel our children from them, receive such counsel from our parents, and exhort one another with their wisdom, that we receive patience, comfort, and hope. May the Lord work through this to grow our trust and our confidence in him, so that we are not deceived into leaning unto our own understanding and encounter the evil which so closely follows that. But in all our ways, let us acknowledge him and pray that he continue to lead us in paths according to his promises, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Dear Lord, we offer to thee a portion of the temporal blessings which thou hast entrusted to us. Remind us that we are but stewards of the money thou givest us, and through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, move us to give gladly and generously to the work of thy church. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who art our strength and stay, upholding all creation by thy power, sustaining the earth and all who dwell therein by thy love, and enlightening the hearts of thy children with thy truth, grant us thy fear and love, that we, walking in thy heavenly precepts, may attain the beginning of all true wisdom, being made wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We praise thee for the revelation of thy holy law, in which we are taught to see ourselves as we are in thy sight by nature, lost and condemned, ruined in body and soul. Help us to acknowledge with penitent hearts our sins, and to understand that we deserve nothing but thy wrath and displeasure, temporal death and eternal damnation. Especially, however, do we acknowledge thy love in bringing us from death unto life through the atoning suffering and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Through the message of thy love and grace in the Savior, cause us to grow in our love for thee and our neighbor, and enable us thereby also to endure the sufferings of this present life with patient and cheerful spirits. In all our afflictions, move us to come quickly to thy throne of grace in the full assurance that we will find there a sympathetic high priest who can indeed be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, having endured the despising and rejection of men, even from the world that he came to save. We pray for thy church, O Lord. Rule and direct it that it may prosper in those things for which it has been established. Defend it against all error and confusion, and preserve it in the true faith of thy holy name. Quicken it by thy grace, that it may show forth thy praises in every good word and work, and bring to thee the sacrifices of contrition and obedience. To preserve this blessed work of thy mercy among us in future years, bless our conference with men who desire to serve thee in the office of the ministry, and to be prepared for this service by studying in our seminary, so that our congregations may never be without a faithful shepherd's leading, and may continue to rejoice in the pure teachings of thy word for generations to come. Continue graciously to uphold and strengthen Pastor Leitz in his important work of feeding the flock that thou hast committed to his care. Comfort our dear brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Tenderly bestow upon them thy mercy, and show them what great things thou hast prepared for thy children. Hear our prayer, O Father, and if there is anything else for which we should have asked, grant it unto us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Mediator, in whose name we also now pray for our communicants. Dear Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink, ye all, of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
take, drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 3 of hymn 437. Welcome to all the guests. Pretty much right after the service concludes, which it actually has, but as you're dismissed, you could head over to the Senior Center, which if you've never been there, it's that way. And you pretty much just stay on tangent until you wind up there. It's just past the library. You pretty much can't miss it. And if you're unsure of yourself, just maybe buddy up with someone. It's very easy to find. And we'll be having our noon meal there. Following that, I'm really not sure what time it's supposed to resume. The session's supposed to resume here. It might be 1:45, it might be 1:30. Check the agenda. The agenda is what was in the bulletin. You had a link to it last Sunday. And there are hard copies back there too. So that's the official schedule for the different events. And right after, we have the opening devotion with the resumption of the sessions. We'll go into the conclusion of the essay. Now may the Lord be with you all.